Welcome to the Dermatology Podcast, the official podcast of the European Academy of Dermatology and Venereology. I'm Christopher Horskamp.
And I'm Cécile Mitoir.
And we are your hosts. Today, we'll be speaking with Professor Lydia Rudnitska. She served as the chairman of the Department of Dermatology of the Central Clinical Hospital of the Ministry of Internal Affairs in Warsaw, Poland for 16 years. Since 2014, she has been serving as the chairman of the Department of Dermatology at the Medical University of Warsaw. She is the president of the Polish Dermatological Society, first president of the International Society of Trichoscopy, and associate editor of the Journal of the European Academy of Dermatology and Venereology.
Additionally, Professor Rudnitska has authored or co-authored over 200 articles and book chapters, mainly concerning autoimmune skin diseases, biological therapies, videodermoscopy, trichoscopy, epidemiology of skin diseases, and managing medical institutions.
Hello, Professor Rudnitska.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for the invitation. It's my pleasure.
We would like to start with some biographical questions. What would you like to tell us about your professional journey so far?
My professional journey was quite international. I was studying medicine in Bonn and in Cologne in Germany and then in Poland. I was working in Liège in Belgium and Schaffhausen in Switzerland, in Washington, Bethesda, Philadelphia, and much more. And now, as you mentioned, I'm the chairman of the Department of Dermatology in Warsaw, Poland. Well, taking into consideration my biography, I think that I was quite lucky because I had great mentors, great teachers, and most importantly, my mentor was Professor Stefania Jablonska, a world-known dermatologist with a lot of achievements.
Mm-hmm. And so why did you choose dermatology with all the different fields you could have gone into?
Well, there are at least two reasons, and I think that both of them do not sound very professional. The first reason was when I was a medical student, I realized that the dermatology book for students, it's much thinner compared to other books. And I believed at that time that dermatology would be a field which would require much less learning and less work compared to other fields of medicine. And life has proven me wrong. Now I know that dermatology is an exhausting field of medicine, both emotionally and also in terms of working hours, and it requires a lot of learning. The second reason, if you imagine at that time the communist Poland when people were not allowed to travel abroad, I heard, being a medical student, that the doctors in the Department of Dermatology are traveling to conferences. So I made an appointment with the department chairman, who was at that time Professor Jablonska, and I said, Professor Jablonska, I would love to work in your department. She looked at me and she asked, do you speak English? I responded in English, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. This was the only question she asked. I got the job, and this was the conversation which changed my life. So as you see, I fell in love with dermatology much later, not at the beginning when I was making the choice.
So clearly having an international mindset at such a young age was a great benefit to you.
Yes, I'm very happy with my international background. It helped a lot in my professional life, especially later when I started traveling to conferences as a speaker. I must say that thanks to my international experience, I feel at home almost everywhere in the world, and it helps a lot.
In your background, you've chaired departments at hospitals and worked with some very important institutions. One of the institutions is the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, a place where I have a soft spot in my heart because I actually started my career there. What was your role with them?
Yes, this was very long ago. I was invited to the FDA in Washington by Andrea Kornhauser, mm-hmm. who was a chairman at the Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition, and I was working in his lab on the effect of beta-carotene on prevention of skin cancer. And we even have one publication together from that time.
Okay.
And if I can have an advice to young people who are traveling now abroad for fellowships, I recommend to write a publication together, because after many years, this is the best souvenir you can have from a stay at a fellowship in another country.
At this point of your career, Do you have one achievement that stands out that you're the most proud of? Anything in your professional life that you would say, so far, this is a thing that I perceive as currently my greatest achievement?
I have no doubts that my biggest achievement is my work in trichoscopy, and especially the Atlas of Trichoscopy, which was by now translated to several languages. Trichoscopy, as you know, is hair and scalp dermoscopy, and it serves mainly the differential diagnosis of several hair and scalp diseases. However, there's also recent research which shows that trichoscopy may be useful for suspecting some general health problems because they may have a manifestation on the scalp or they may manifest with hair loss. So the application of trichoscopy is probably much wider than we previously thought. Before this book and before my work, we used trichoscopy mainly as a research tool. And I believe, this is my opinion, I believe that this atlas and our work brought trichoscopy from the research area to the clinical practice. So this is the area from which I am most proud of.
The field of dermatology has changed over the last half of a century. Some sources show that only around 7% of dermatologists were women in the 1970s, whereas just a few years ago, it grew to 47%. So did you notice this change in demographic?
Regarding women in dermatology, I think that, again, here I was quite lucky because when I was a resident, our boss had a sense of identifying people who were enthusiastic and liked working and was promoting us equally regardless of gender.
And as a female dermatologist in Poland?
In Poland, I believe that the situation of women in dermatology is quite good because there are more women dermatologists compared to men dermatologists. There are more women who are dermatology department chairmen compared to men. And the president of the society, it's me, is also a woman. So I think here we're doing quite fine.
That's impressive. So what advice would you give to young women entering the field of dermatology today?
My advice for young doctors is the same for women and for men. First, and probably most importantly, work, work, work. Second, keep learning while you are working. And third, take your chances. If you have a chance to participate in the study, to be a member of a project, to give a lecture, to show a case, do it. If you say no, nobody will ask you another time, especially if you are a young doctor. If nobody asks, be proactive. Ask whether you can be a part of a study group, whether you can participate in a project, whether you can present your cases, or maybe you can be a member of a scientific committee. Make yourself visible, and then others will see you.
And for the young researchers out there?
Write your first article. Write articles for many reasons. One of them being that writing is forcing us to read and to learn. And the more we write, the more we will know. Second, writing is a way of showing others that we know something. Otherwise, they may not know. And third, it is great to feel the happiness of having an article accepted to a journal, especially if this is your first article. My second advice to young people, ask questions. And especially ask why if you don't understand something. When one is young, this is the only time in your life when you can ask as many questions as you like and nobody will be surprised. But time flies very fast and soon you will be the one to respond. So take the opportunity and ask why.
We've read up on your bio and we know that you've co-authored articles on autoimmune skin diseases, biological therapies, video dermoscopy, trichoscopy, epidemiology of skin diseases, and managing medical institutions. Of these, what are your most exciting research findings that you're particularly proud of?
the findings which I am most proud of, they're probably, or most of them, are in the field of tricuspid. But let me just name one of them. This is identifying that the blood vessels of the scalp are quite important in terms of differential diagnosis of scalp disorders, but also they may mirror the quality or the abnormalities of general microcirculation, and this may lead to the suspicion of various diseases. But this comes close to my other area of interest and to my other finding, and this is related to systemic sclerosis. And we have found some years ago that topoisomerase 1 inhibitors may be an effective treatment in systemic sclerosis. These were lab data. This never moved from the research area to the clinics. But I hope that someday such a proof in clinical practice may be available.
What do you think will be the challenges and breakthroughs in the treatment of psoriasis and atopic dermatitis and alopecia?
Regarding psoriasis, I believe that we have now almost perfect biological drugs, and I do not foresee anything coming what will change or significantly change our approach to treatment of psoriasis in the upcoming years, maybe with the exception of a more tailored or individualized approach to choosing the right biological drug for the right patient. However, treatment of alopecia areata remains a big challenge both in children and in adults, and there are now many trials going on with JAK inhibitors, whether or not JAK inhibitors will provide a treatment option which will be an answer to the needs of every patient with alopecia areata. I think time will show. For sure, we are waiting for the approval of JAK inhibitors for alopecia areata. However, I believe that a more major breakthrough in alopecia areata is yet to come, maybe in a far future. But I'm convinced that this century will bring a major breakthrough in genetic treatment. And I remember a long time ago working together with Angela Cristiano in the lab in Philadelphia. And Angela was working on a concept or in a project which included exchanging a gene long before a child was born, even at the level of the sperm. So we can see that in terms of dermatological treatment, the sky is the limit.
How do you perceive the impact of your research on patient care?
Let me start with telling you a story. J.P.R. Genciano invited me some years ago to give a presentation about tricuspid during a course on dermoscopy which he was organizing. And this was a room full of approximately 500 people. And before my presentation, he asked, well, who of you is using tricuspid for clinical practice? And I remember until today, there were only two people who raised their hands. And I believe that this has changed dramatically. Now, almost every doctor who is treating patients with hair disorders and with scalp diseases is using, to a bigger or lesser extent, tricuspid in the clinical practice. So there will be many people working on this, but if I can say so, I believe that this was my biggest success of my life.
Yeah, it is indeed. So could you please tell us about the nationwide Polish Stop Melanoma campaign and its role to promote prevention and early detection of melanoma?
We did this campaign some time ago, and the goal was to decrease the death rate from melanoma in Poland. It is quite high, mm-hmm. and it is related to the late diagnosis of melanoma. So we have made classes for general practitioners, for dermatologists, but also for nurses, for cosmeticians, and even for hairdressers. And many of them said later that they were able to suspect melanomas on the basis of what they have learned during this campaign. But also, thanks to the work of many experts for many years. Finally, since 2017, we have a ban on tanning beds for persons under the age of 18. So I am convinced that this also will contribute to the decrease in the death rate from melanoma in Poland.
Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about the JEADV. How is your experience regarding your role as an associate editor of the JEADV?
Working with a team who is editing the JEADV is extremely interesting and very rewarding. And I must say, I learned a lot. I learned from reading the articles, but also I learned a lot looking at the details, how the journal is managed. And also as an author, I understand now more than before the point of view of the editor who has to reject a paper. I'm also extremely happy to be able to work with Professor Johannes Rink, the editor-in-chief of the JEADV, and I try to learn from him how to remain professional without losing friends in dermatology.
Yes, we are very lucky to have you, Professor Rutnitska. And in your opinion, what makes publishing in the JEADV special?
There are many reasons to publish in the JEADV. Most importantly, this is a great journal. But I think what is unique about the JEADV is that it is very open to high-quality articles from various countries. Many good journals in dermatology are journals which belong to national dermatology societies, and I believe that they may have a preference to papers which come from this country. The second reason may be that the JEADV is publishing free of charge for the authors, and the third reason that the JEADV is one of the few journals which has increasing quality as measured by the international rankings.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
I'd like to go into your views on dermatology right now, and what do you think about the effect of coronavirus itself on dermatology?
I believe that we learned a lot during the coronavirus pandemic in dermatology and in life. In dermatology, we learned to be suspicious of a new disease which has dermatological manifestations, but also I think we learned to work in a not so comfortable environment as it used to be, to protect ourselves and our patients from a possible infection. We learned a lot about teledermatology. We can use it much more efficiently now. However, we also learned that this is not the perfect way of evaluating a patient with a skin disorder, and in many cases, teledermatology is not able to replace a face-to-face visit of the patient.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we have also learned a lot beyond dermatology. We learned that there's nothing in life what we can take for granted, not even simple things like a dinner with friends or attending a conference. And I think this is an important lesson for us, which we have learned, that nothing in life is forever.
Well, you mentioned teledermatology. Let's talk a little bit about the other technologies that are being used right now. What are your thoughts on AI and big data, or even social media, of which I know you're quite adept? How are they shaping dermatology?
Yes, I am a fan of social media, and I am mainly a fan of short video communications such as in YouTube. I believe that YouTube in the near future will start replacing Google, because many of us have the tendency to rather watch and listen than to read. So I believe that this is the future of communication. Currently, we are using these short videos to learn how to exchange a battery, how to fix a computer screen which is upside down, or how to make a dish for dinner. And with the time to come, I believe that short video forms of communication will be the future also of medical or of transferring medical knowledge.
And artificial intelligence?
There's some future for artificial intelligence in dermatology. However, I believe that we should rather look into a combination of human and non-human rather than believing that artificial intelligence will solve our problems in diagnosing and treating diseases.
If you could send a message to every fellow dermatologist and to every dermatologic patient, what would you say?
I will start with the doctors. I believe that the coronavirus pandemic brought a major breakthrough in the ways how we communicate. And I think that we have to adapt and we have to accept the new technologies, because the world will never again be like it was before the pandemic. We will still keep communicating in a major part through the computer screen. So for those of us who do not like computers, please start liking them. because this is our future, both for the communication with patients and for the communication between doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And to the patients. If you still remember a dermatologist's office, which consists of a doctor who is holding a pen, and this is all there is, this is now history. A modern dermatology office is full of equipment for both diagnostics and for treatment, and it looks more like a Star Trek movie than like a history book. Your dermatologist has spent more than 10 years learning how to operate the spaceship to help you. So if you have any questions related to skin and skin diseases, please ask your dermatologist. Your dermatologist does know the answer. And if you have any problem with your skin, with your nails, or with your hair, arrange an appointment with a dermatologist.
Well, Professor Rudnitska, thank you very much for being with us today. We've enjoyed having you as our guest.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And we would like to thank you all for listening to the Dermatology Podcast by the ADV. Until the next time,
take care of your skin.